Oh, I sure do. It was in 1971. I had just returned from the service, and a longtime friend of mine and a girl who was a neighbor and a family friend was taking me around to kind of reintroduce me to the music scene in Fayetteville, because my background was I had my first band in 1966, and then I had several bands in the 60s that were real popular around Northwest Arkansas. And she was taking me around to reintroduce me to the music scene after I'd been away for a couple of years in the service. And she took me over to hear a band called Rodeo Practice. And, of course, Wendy Austin was the lead singer of that band, and a couple other people in the group that later became great friends, Steve Melody on drums, and Billy Jett, who became a Zorro member later, on bass, and John Britton on guitar, and Wendy Austin. And Wendy was doing a lot of Creedence Clearwater in those days, and I remember the girl telling me, he can do this all night long. And, you know, that held true all through Wendy's musical career, because once you got him started on stage, he could definitely go all night long with the same exuberance and the same spirit and the same energy level.
You were with Zorro throughout the band's entire run, weren't you?
I was. I was working. Billy Jett, our bass player, and I were working for Stax Records in the early 70s in a group called River City. And Stax went bankrupt, and we all left. I remember we left Memphis after they let us know there wouldn't be any more recording sessions. And we came back to Fayetteville, and we got a call from Wendy. And Wendy said, hey, I've got a duo. We're calling ourselves Zorro, and we're gigging this week. Why don't you guys come down and play? And he also called a drummer, a local guy by the name of Jim Moon. So we showed up in October of 72 on, I'm sorry, October of 74, on Dixon Street at a club called Poor Richards, and with no rehearsal whatsoever, we started playing, and that was the very first night of Zorro. And then we added And the Blue Footballs, featuring the Chuck Lunch Orchestra, because Wendy played clarinet and I played saxophone. But that was our first night, and, you know, the band never rehearsed. Everything we did was born on stage, and that's how our show grew.
I always got the feeling, watching Zorro and the Blue Footballs, that there wasn't such thing as a set list.
No, there wasn't. The audience dictated what we did. You know, we were great believers in catering to the audience's interests. And as you know, we got away with a lot on stage. In fact, we pushed the audience as far as we could. We thought that was an essential part of our comedy, and but I think we got away with that because we played good music. We always had the best musicians that we could find, and the lineup over the years included some really truly amazing musicians.
What was Wendy like as a band leader?
Oh gosh, you know, Wendy was easygoing. He was serious about music, and then not serious about music. You know, and by that I mean he could be nonsensical. He and I, we kind of were joined at the hip, and, you know, we never said, you do this and I'll do that, and hopefully this is the reaction we got. We just played off each other, and we hit it off from the very beginning, and it was a real unique relationship in that band, because we never tried to upstage each other. We always worked as partners, and luckily, I'd like to say it was all by design, but luckily it worked, and the backing musicians that we had were all of such a caliber that they could follow our cues and play anything, kind of a musical interlude to go along with it. It was a fun band, and we never looked at it as work. It was always a great time. Every gig we played was fun.
He certainly had an irreverent sense of humor, mm-hmm. and you mentioned no rehearsals and no set list and playing with the audience. It would be easy, if you didn't know and had never seen Wendy play, that you'd think that he was always a joker about music. But he really, really loved music, didn't he?
He did, and, you know, he had no training. You know, I was in the high school band. I had musical training on saxophone, clarinet, and the woodwinds. and most of the players in our band had taken lessons or had a background in music, but Wendy just picked it up. You know, he picked up in rodeo. He became a vocalist with that band, and then later on he acquired a clarinet, and he taught himself to play it. And in fact, when he brought it to our first gig, I had to tell him what note he was playing. He had no earthly idea what note it was. He just knew it fit with the chord that was being played. But I used to tell him the note, and then he picked it up. But Wendy became quite a hell of a clarinet player, by the way, with no background at all. So, you know, once he put something in his mind, he was the same way with the piano. He learned piano, and he learned bass guitar, and then he taught himself drums. And, in fact, one of the last gigs he did while living was with Earl Cade and the traveling
wheel bearings,
yeah, the group that they put together just kind of as an exercise to get out and do something different from the bands they were playing with.
If someone is too young or didn't live here and didn't see a Zorro and the Blue football show, how would you describe it to them?
Well, it was controlled insanity. Number one, the music was first. We always wanted to play the best music we could, and then we wanted the audience to leave feeling like they'd been entertained and they'd had a good time. You know, when we formed in the 70s, the U.S. was a real downer place. We were coming out of the Vietnam War. There were a lot of problems going on domestically, and there was disco music. So there wasn't any great music, and live music was starting to die a slow death. We actually credit disco music. We love disco because it put bucks in our pocket. We played a tremendous amount of gigs in the 70s because people were dying for live entertainment. And our goal when we got on stage was to entertain the audience, and we wanted them leaving with a feeling that they'd gotten their money's worth. And I guess, you know, we did something right, because I'm truly amazed after Wendy's passing, from all that I've read and all the postings and all the emails I've gotten, that people still remember 30 years later our skits. They can quote things we said. They remember instances on stage. So that's a real tribute, to what was going on.
What was Wendy like when he wasn't on stage?
Well, you know, Wendy was well-read. He loved to read. He loved to listen to music. He was a family kind of guy. He had a lovely wife, and he liked to do things that I think would have surprised a lot of people. He was athletic. He was a great football player in high school, and he liked to run. He liked to play tennis. He liked to play golf, and he read a lot of books. You know, when you're touring, when you're traveling on the road, you usually find a lot of readers in bands, because it gets real boring on the highway.
Someone told me the other day that the best Saturday in the world was you beat Texas at football and then you went to see a Zorro show.
You know, we always somehow, I don't know how he did it, maybe it's because the club owners in Fayetteville always wanted us around at the Texas game, but we always were booked into Fayetteville after that Texas game. And in fact, we've got an audio recording of one of those, and I'm going to try to get that distributed here in the next few months. But it was quite a show, and they were always packed houses, and as you know, they were rowdy.
That's an understatement. Yes. Hey, Mike, thanks so much for your time.
Well, it's my pleasure, and I'm just glad to be able to bring to mind people the attributes of Wendy, because he was truly a great performer, and he was a great performer and a great partner, and I loved him dearly.